Well, good morning, one and all. And you're back again after the holidays. Fresh and well you're looking. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel this morning for a little reading. We are continuing our study of the pictures of Christ that are presented to us in the Bible. And we've spent some time looking at Moses. And the reason for that, of course, is that Moses is a wonderful picture of the Savior. There are many aspects of Moses' character and events in his life that remind us of the Savior. I've told you before that Moses was somewhat unique in that he himself said that God, in mercy to Israel, would raise up someone just like himself who would be the Messiah. So we can expect to find many parallels in the record given us of Moses to the person and to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're reading in Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading at the verse 11. Now these are familiar verses, I'm sure. There's not a boy or a girl here, but will know the story we're about to read. So it's Matthew chapter 2, and we're looking at the verse 11. Have we got it? Verse 11 of chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. And when they were come into the house, we're reading now about the wise men, of course, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. I do ask you, please, to notice the order of events that take place here. There are many in the so-called Christian world who would push to the fore Mary and say that Mary is the most important person. In fact, the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is that it's easier to get to heaven through Mary than it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can recognize that it's important for us to take note of just how God speaks of Mary and how he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here come these wise men into the house where the Savior was at this time, and it says they saw the young child. Now, if you were going visiting a home where a little baby had just been born, you would say hello to the mommy first, wouldn't you? You wouldn't, as it were, look past her, walk past her, and look at the baby. You would refer to her first, speak to her first, then you would go to the baby. But notice here in this instance that the eyes of these wise men go straight to the child. They see the child first, because these are unique circumstances. These men were directed of God to leave their home and travel to Israel that they might meet with the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that was uppermost in their thoughts and in their mind and in their heart. And so automatically their eyes were drawn to the child and not to Mary or to Joseph, who would have been there at that time. Boys and girls, the way God says anything, states anything, writes down anything is always important. Always important. And when there is an emphasis, you take note of it. And there's an emphasis here. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped who? Her? No, him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The Lord Jesus was born into a very hostile world, a world that hated him, a world that hated him. And Herod here is planning to kill him. But the Lord of glory knows this and warns Joseph. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The Lord will bless this short reading from His precious Word. I read this portion this morning because it blends in with what it is we want to say regarding Moses and his likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can see here that both Moses and the Lord Jesus, in their childhood, lived in Egypt. Wonderful how God fulfills prophecy. I wonder, when Joseph was undertaking that journey to Egypt and living in Egypt, I wonder, had he any awareness of that little verse in Hosea? It's Hosea chapter 11 and the verse 1, that says, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." I wonder, was Joseph conscious of that little verse, that prophecy? We could call it isolated prophecy, because it's the only prophecy related to the Savior's sojourn in Egypt. Just the one little reference. I wonder, was Joseph aware of that? The reason I ask, and ask you to think about that, is because, you see, we see in the fulfillment of prophecy the inspiration of the Bible. We see that this is a book written by God, and prophecies of events that lay far, far in the future were wonderfully fulfilled in keeping with the Word of God, proving that it is the Word of God. Men couldn't have spoken of things that had yet to come to pass accurately, nor could they have organized the fulfilling of those prophecies in order to make it look like God had indeed foretold these things. So, I'm asking you just to ponder, do you think Joseph was aware of Hosea chapter 11 and the verse 1? As he fled in terror, frightened, there would have been to a degree an air of panic in that home when the angel of the Lord appears and says to him, "You have to take the young child and his mother down to Egypt because Herod plans to kill him." Now, that would have engendered at least a degree of fear in the home. And I can see Joseph saying to Mary, "Quickly, quickly, let's pack up, let's move. Herod is going to kill the child." And he would have been aware how quickly a king could order troops to move, swoop, execute his orders. So there would have been an air of haste, urgency in that home. And I don't think it would have been the sort of atmosphere in which Joseph would have taken the time to ponder and to think, and maybe think about Hosea chapter 11 and the verse 1. It's very possible, you know, that at that time Joseph didn't even know about Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. I don't suggest for the moment that Joseph was a man who didn't know his Bible, the Old Testament. But at the same time, he was just a man, and he wouldn't have carried about, as it were, in his mind, an open Bible. He wouldn't have been conscious of every portion within the Old Testament. And it's very possible that Joseph didn't know about that verse, or certainly didn't think about that verse at that time. What I'm saying to you is that it is so, so, so unlikely for Joseph to be able to organize the fulfilling of Hosea chapter 11 and the verse 1. So unlikely for him to have read about Hosea 11 verse 1. "I will call my son out of Egypt," and said to himself, "Well, now, in order to fulfill that prophecy, we'll have to go down to Egypt for a while and then come back up out of it in order to fulfill this prophecy." It's just beyond man's capability to organize the fulfilling of the prophecy. I'm telling you that here we have again, as we have in the fulfilling of all prophecies, a wonderful proof of the infallibility, of the inerrancy, and the divinity of the Bible. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. And this obscure little prophecy, this obscure little prophecy, is wonderfully fulfilled. And I'm suggesting to you that neither Joseph nor Mary would have been aware of that at the time. They probably would have thought about it later, maybe come on the verse later. But I don't think that they would have been conscious of it at the time. So, just as Moses spent his early childhood in Egypt. So we find the Lord Jesus as a child was there for a time. For a time. And out of Egypt the Lord called his son. There's another parallel. And if you turn to Acts chapter 7, you will see that parallel as well. Acts chapter 7. Now here we are, quite literally thousands of years later, after Moses. And here is God's servant Stephen, and he's on trial for his life. You know the story of Stephen, how he was charged with all sorts of false charges regarding his preaching, and he's put on trial before the elders of Israel. And Stephen, in order to answer what it is he's charged with, begins to relate the whole history of Israel, bringing out certain points that were of particular interest, points that illustrated that what they had done with the Lord Jesus Christ is the same fate as was encountered by many of his great servants in the past, and thus there was a foreshadowing of their opposition to the Messiah. And he's talking about Moses here in the chapter 7 and the verse. Well, read from verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For explanation. This verse is an explanation of the reason why Moses did what he did. He intervened. He stopped the Egyptian attacking the Israelite, and stopped them effectively, for he killed them. Why did he do it? Well, here we have the explanation. That little word for always introduces an explanation, an answer. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. Now, there's a whole lot of things we could say there. But the one point I want to make today, because it's relevant, is this. Moses knew that he was God's deliverer. He knew it. He knew it long before God commanded him to begin the great work of deliverance. He was 80 before he began that work. Here he is at 40. So 40 years before he appeared among his brethren as the one ordained of God to lead them out, 40 years before, he knew that he was the one. He thought that they too would understand that, but they didn't. The point I'm making is this, boys and girls, that as Moses knew for a long time before he actually took up the work of redeeming and delivering Israel, he knew he was God's man for that task. So it was with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, even when a little boy, knew who he was. Remember when he was 12 years old? You read about it in Acts chapter 2. When he was 12 years old, he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He knew that he was on earth to carry out his Father's business. Carry out his Father's business. And boys and girls, here we have this parallel. Here we have a picture of Christ in the life of Moses. He was a child in Egypt, just like the Savior. He had an awareness for a long time of the task that God had for him. You know, boys and girls, there's many a youngster, and from a very early age, they become aware, God has something for me to do. I'm just running through my mind stories of many great men and great women who were aware of that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the wonderful preacher of the gospel in London, back in the 1800s, from a very early child was conscious, very conscious, of a responsibility that lay upon his heart, a consciousness that God wanted him to do something. I wonder how it is with you. as you've been listening to the Bible, as you've been listening to the Word of God, as you've heard exhortations here, have you thought, you know, I think God is speaking to me about this matter? It's very possible. It's very possible. We saw it happen in the life of Moses. We see it happening in the life of our Savior. He had that awareness. May the Lord indeed set his hand upon your heart and make you conscious of the fact that he has something for you to do. Let's bow in prayer. Father, bless your word to the boys and to the girls. I pray that they might inquire, Lord, even in prayer. May they be led to say to the Lord, hast thou a work for me to do? What is thy will? O God, raise up from the ranks of our boys and girls those who in these dark days will proclaim thy name and thine honour and thy glory. Bless the school today. We commit it into thy care and thy keeping and all connected with it. May your healing touch upon each one that needs a touch today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.